Welcome to a new episode of Operation Gundog. We hope you enjoy it.
Back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We had a little two-week gap. We're back and at them. We have Brandon Sweezy on this episode. This episode is brought to you by the letter N. By the letter N, I mean Northern Air Retrievers. If you haven't followed them on Instagram yet, that's Brandon's kennel, and it's @NorthernAirRetrievers with underscores in between the words. Check them out. With that, we will be talking to Brandon tonight about AKC versus HRC hunt test. We've already ran through all of our HRC levels, started season, finished. We did talk to Brandon about the finished level, and in this episode, we're going to talk about some differences between each level, started with junior, seasoned with senior, and then finished with master. So Brandon, happy to have you back, man. For those that did not listen to the last episode, can you reintroduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Brandon Sweezy. I live over in West Michigan, and I run and operate Northern Air Retrievers.
Awesome.
How many tattoos do you have?
Oh, man. Over 10.
I think you stop counting after they start like kind of running together. Like it becomes like one tattoo, right?
Yeah. Once you get your whole arms done, you know, you stop counting them. And then the rest are just ridiculous. You get your neck and your hands and all that done, and then it's game over from there.
You got a teardrop coming up next?
Not yet.
All right, back to the episode. So Brandon, I know there's some differences between AKC and HRC. So far I've only run HRC hunt tests. Can you kind of give us the meat and potatoes of like the biggest differences that you think of, you know, out the gate between the two?
Sure. The biggest differences I think you're going to find between the two are being able to talk to your dog and not being able to talk to your dog. And AKC, once you signal to the judges that you're ready for the test to begin, you cannot speak to your dog. HRC, you start every test with a duck call, and throughout the birds coming out, you are able to talk to your dog. I think that's going to be the biggest issue that people face, switching back and forth between the two. With started and junior, it's not as big of an issue. You're able to hold your dog's collar in each of the two. But once you are running senior and seasoned and finished and master, if you have a dog that creeps, it could potentially be quite an issue. But I think that's between the two, I think that's mainly the biggest issue that you're going to face right there.
So about, you know, being able to talk to your dog, does that include everything? Like whenever you're casting, can you say over, or are you just giving a hand signal? Is there, if you do say a word, like a here, if your dog starts to break, is that like a penalty, or that's like, you're done? Like, how's that work?
So basically how it works is in AKC, you're going to signal to the judges that you're ready. Say we're running a senior test. You will signal to the judges that you're ready. Both your birds are going to come out, and hypothetically, the judges are going to give you a second or 2 seconds once that last bird hits the ground, and then they'll say dog or 22, whatever your number is going to be. Once they give you that cue, that's basically them telling you, you're free now to release your dog and talk to your dog as you would normally.
Gotcha. In
HRC, like I mentioned earlier, you start every test with a duck call, and you can talk to your dog the entire time that the birds are coming out. So
right. Okay. That makes a little more sense, because I was like, you know, how are you going to send your dog without saying their name? And, you know, I'm thinking about stuff like that.
Yep. They'll tell you once that last bird hits the ground, they'll give you like a second and a half, and they'll say dog or like I said, dog 22, whatever they say, and then you can release your dog from there.
Perfect. Talk to us a little bit about the differences with, like, where the guns are located, where the sounds are located. I know for, you know, HRC, it's, you're basically quacking at the bucket, at least at the started and seasoned level, and then you hear a quack, you know, out in the field, and the birds are coming out, and you're also shooting from the line, or there's a gunner at the line. Talk to us about, in AKC, what's different about that?
So in every AKC test that you're going to run, the gunner stations are going to quack. There's going to be a boom cannon, basically what it is, and then they'll throw the bird. While you're at the line in the senior and master level, you are handling a gun, but it's a fake gun. So you're basically just pointing it out into the field.
Gotcha.
In HRC, seasoned and finished, you are handling your gun. Started, you have the option to handle the gun if you'd like to. 99% of people don't do it, just because that means that your dog has to be 100% steady. You can't hold the collar and handle the gun at the same time. In seasoned, HRC seasoned, there is sounds coming from the gunner station. They're going to quack. There's no boom cannon out there, but there will be a quack coming from each of the two mark stations. And then once you get to finished, the marks come out silent out of the wingers.
Gotcha. Yep, I've heard that. And back to what you were saying about handling the gun for started, you know, they give you the option to have somebody else handle the gun, and you can basically just hold on to your dog, which is highly advised. And I haven't seen that used yet, you know, in my experience, haven't seen the handler use the hold the gun and started. But I think, Dominic, didn't you say that you got to see that at the hunt test you were at?
Yeah, I ended up making friends with the guy, but he did choose to handle the gun, and it kind of turned out the way you would expect. Dogs always react differently that in those situations than they do in training, and he went through that just because in training he typically does hold the gun and doesn't bother steadying the dog, and it's usually steady, but just wasn't at that hunt test. So he didn't pass that first day, so the second day he held the collar and was able to pick up the pass.
And that's one of those things right there. If you have the option to do it, you might as well do it. You know, you're paying money to run these tests, and yeah, you might have a steady dog in training. I'm sure a lot of us do, but especially in junior and started, when you get to these tests, chances are you have a pretty young dog, and why risk it? You know, I mean, hold your dog's collar, make sure they're steady, send them, and pick up your ribbon at the end of the day. I mean, it would suck to try to be a hero, if you will, and not hold your dog's collar and have them break, you know?
Right. You don't get like an extra badge or, you know, a gold star on your ribbon.
No.
If you don't hang on to your dog. Another thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, I know in HRC, you earn points, and the points add up for each level, started, season, finished. And I know you have some carryover, for instance, in seasoned. If you had two started passes, then you can have 10 points, you know, carry over. Basically, you get a little credit for participating in the, you know, the other stakes. So are there some similarities to that with AKC?
So basically how it works with HRC is if you want to pick up titles in every stake there, you need 4 started passes and you get 5 points per pass. What a lot of folks will do is just run 2 started tests, because you can only carry over 10 points from started to seasoned. So a lot of people won't even go for that started title. They'll just get their 10 points and then run seasoned. So for instance, what I did is I ran my four tests, got a started title. And then when I ran seasoned, you only need three passes. Right. Once you have 40 points, that is your season title, because it's 10 points per pass. And then once you do that, once you start running finished, it's 15 points per pass. And once you get to 100, that gives you your finished title.
Right.
I know AKC, they don't do a point system. And truthfully, I don't really know how that works as far as skipping whatnot. I know I went straight into senior with Jones, and we needed five passes for that title. And now I know for master, he needs five passes for his master title and six for master national qualification.
Right. So that brings me into another question. So for you said for master national, you need how many master passes? Six.
You need six in a calendar year. Right. So for instance, the calendar year just started August 1st. So from August 1st of this year until August 1st of next year, you need six passes to qualify for the Master National.
Perfect. And then qualifying for the Grand, you just have to have your HRCH, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Awesome. This is going to be, you know, I guess a preference type question. But do you find it's harder to go from HRC to AKC or vice versa? I know that you mentioned before, you know, the ability to talk in HRC, but then also in HRC, you got to handle the gun at these other levels. So what do you think would be the smoother transition, or do you think that there is a, you know, an easier transition going from one to the other?
You know what? I really can't tell you if there is an easier one to jump to from the other. Me personally, I think it was a lot harder to go from HRC to AKC just because I strictly ran HRC before AKC, and I had been so used to talking to my dogs. And then going to AKC, it's almost like you mess up sometimes, and you know, they're creeping a little bit, and you're so used to being able to tell them sit or heel. That personally was a challenge for me, but you know, a lot of my friends and whatnot, they strictly had ran AKC, and then a few of them started running some finish tests this year for HRC, and they had a hell of a time handling the gun. That was their biggest thing. They just never handled the gun like that. So going from AKC, where you're basically just pointing a stick out into the open, to actually loading a gun, handling a gun, all that stuff, it doesn't sound like it would be that difficult, but not doing it to doing it is apparently pretty difficult.
Man, I'm here to tell you, like, running seasoned, it's a lot more complicated handling that gun than you think. It's not as easy as just pointing it out there and shooting, you know, the two quote unquote flyers. One issue that I had with Bonnie was the diversion bird. So on one of the days, they threw the diversion bird on the return from a mark, and the bird was thrown behind me. And so as Bonnie was running back to me, as she's coming back with the mark, I have to turn around and shoulder the gun and shoot the diversion bird behind me. She's a fast dog too. And so I turn around, shoot, and I say, sit, and just hope to God that she does. And thankfully she did, but I could tell you there's a few dogs in that situation just blew right by their handler.
And now let me ask you this, John, are you one of them kind of people that on diversion you sit your dog as the diversion's coming out, or do you let them come right back to you?
So in training, I make them come right back to me.
Okay.
But in this case, since she was running past me, basically I had to get her to come to heel. it's actually had to run through me in this case. And it wasn't something that I had practiced, because usually I, you know, when I'm practicing and I have the diversion bird coming out to the side. And so I'll just say here and she'll come to me instead of going that, you know, changing directions.
Sure.
But okay. In this case, the direction wasn't, there was no change in direction. It was, I'm going to stop earlier. I'm going to keep going.
Right. Okay.
If that makes sense. It's a hard picture to paint. It's not something that I ever practiced.
I totally get what you're saying. I've seen it before. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So basically when I say, you know, I'm telling her to sit, it means I'm getting her to come heel and stop instead of continuing towards the diversion bird.
Sure. Yep.
But, you know, with that and the coordination of, you know, turning around and shooting the bird while your dog's running full steam ahead, you know, it could be a challenge.
You know, one thing that I know me and John have kind of chatted about, and I've talked to a couple of other trainer buddies, and we kind of said that it almost goes stepwise between HRC and AKC, that it's almost like, you know, as far as the rigor goes, it starts off with started, and then the next difficult would be junior, and then seasoned, and then senior, then finished, and then master. Would you agree that that's kind of the progression between the difficulties across all of both HRC and AKC?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good consensus from most of the pros that I've talked to and most people that have ran both. What is your preference? What do you prefer, AKC or HRC, or do you have a preference?
You know what? Truthfully, I like HRC better, strictly for the fact that I'm handling a gun. It gets back to the roots of you're running a hunt test, and it's supposed to be hunting like, if you will. And I think handling an actual gun is part of that. With that being said, I like AKC tests better because they're more challenging, in my opinion. Whether that be junior, senior, or master, I think there's a lot more to them that makes them quite a bit difficult. And I personally like that. I mean, you get your pass at the end of the day and you feel like you earned it, you know. Not saying that you don't feel that way with HRC, but with AKC, me personally, they're just a little bit sweeter.
You mentioned that, you know, it's a little bit more difficult. And I'd imagine if I'm a dog, you know, one of the things that they say is present in what it might be present in senior, but it's definitely present in master to have a true flyer, right?
Sure.
I would imagine that if I'm a dog, you know, seeing a bird actually flying is going to set excitement to a new level. And especially to see that bird shot and then fall, even if it's a winged bird and you just kind of see it spiral down or something, it's going to make it more difficult for those dogs there. So have you noticed in practice that dogs tend to want to break more on flyers, or do you think it's kind of, they see it as any other mark?
I definitely think when you're running a test, it brings a whole nother factor of excitement. Like you had mentioned, especially when you get to the master level, when you're running senior, chances are that flyer is going to be your last bird down. So the dog's going to get to go pick that one up right away. But for instance, the last master test that I ran down in Virginia, the flyer in the first series was the second bird shot. So, you know, your first bird comes out, second bird comes out, and it's a live flyer. So the dogs are jacked up. They want to go get that bird, but then they have to swing and see another mark come out and then want to go pick that one up first. So I think the flyer definitely, I mean, you can work flyers all the time in training, but as we all know, when you get to a test, everything is going to change. The level of excitement is just through the roof. So especially on flyers.
Tell me, who's shooting the flyer and what does it look like to the dog or from the line?
They have gunners in the winger hides. I've actually I've shot them before for a senior test. Basically, you just take a bird out of a crate, stick it in this big old slingshot that's like a mega winger, and bird comes out, and you typically they have two gunners in that station. The thing that kind of sucks, if you will, about flyer stations is that the bird doesn't always necessarily land in the same spot every time.
Right.
For instance, like I mentioned that last test that we ran down in Virginia, the flyer that came out when they shot it, it landed behind the winger station. So it essentially landed out of sight from where we were at the line. I didn't know it at the time, but one of my friends was videotaping our run, and the judges kind of looked at each other like, should we call a no bird or should we not? And they ended up not. Jones picked it up fine, but you know, it's just, that's one of those things with live flyers. They're not going to land in the same spot every single time.
Talk to us a little bit more about no birds too. Have you ever, you know, been running a test and they completely missed, or the bird just landed where they didn't want it to land?
I haven't necessarily had a no bird in that case. I've had a no bird as far as another dog on honor breaking. I guess that wouldn't really be a no bird, but it's kind of a no bird. But as far as a live flyer, I personally have not had that happen, but it does happen all the time. You know, a bird will fly out, and I actually, you know, opposed to what a lot of people think, a lot of people don't know this, but in HRC test, finish test, they can have a live flyer. And the test that we ran for Jones's finish title, they actually had live flyers in that finish test. And I'm going to sidetrack here a little bit, but on land, they had a no bird because the gunners missed the bird. And then later on that afternoon on water, that same bird that got away was on the water in a different spot. And one of the dogs winded that bird on its way to a mark and went to that bird and flushed it. So essentially they gave that dog a no bird on the water portion of the test because it went to that bird that was on the water in plain sight. it was a crazy situation. I've never seen anything like that before, but yeah, no birds like that do happen all the time.
Yeah, that sounds like a challenge to try to figure out what would be the best way to tackle that. I guess that bird kind of turns into a poison bird
exactly. At that time. Yeah, I mean, and the judges sat there and they talked about it for a good 5 minutes before they figured out what they should actually do. But they gave that a no bird and let the dog run again way, way, way down the line. So I think that was the fair thing to do, in my opinion. But
you kind of mentioned before, and maybe this is a stupid question, but you mentioned that flyer in that that master test came out as second, and then the go bird was thrown after. Mm-hmm. Would you have failed that test if your dog went to pick up the flyer first and then turned and picked up the designed go bird second?
Nope. There's typically no designated order that your dog has to pick the birds up in. If there is, the judges are going to make that very clear at the beginning of the test, but 99.9% of the time it's pick them up in any order.
Another question, HRC versus AKC. So in HRC, I forget the specific number, but you can only handle so many times on a mark if you need to. What's the rule of thumb when it comes to AKC? If you handle on a mark, do you get like one a day, one a series? What does that look like?
In an AKC master test, a lot of people believe that if you handle, say, in the first series, you are no longer allowed to handle after that for the next two series. But I personally have seen two handles in a master test and the dog pass. I think it depends a lot on how and when you're handling that dog and how the dog handles. And it kind of gets back to that old saying, just let the judges judge. If you need to handle your dog, do it, and then see if you get called back. Now, in HRC, you're only running two series in one day. So you have your land and then the water. If you have to handle in the morning, say on water, and then you have to handle on land in the afternoon, you're done. There's no gray area with that.
So in the test that I ran for season, they gave, you know, they looked at it differently if you were handling in the area. And there's something in the rule book that says a quick handle in the area of the fall is preferable to a long hunt. And I can tell you a lot of the people, I mean, I didn't have to handle Bonnie on any of the marks at all. So I felt good about that, but I can tell you a lot of people handled on birds in the area in more than one series.
That's one of the things that you'll notice between AKC and HRC is, for instance, in AKC, they're going to let you hunt a lot longer, whether it be, you know, senior or master, they're going to let you put on a pretty decent hunt, and they're not going to say anything to you. But season, they'll let you do the same thing. But when you get to finished and start running those tests, if your dog's putting on a pretty massive hunt and it gets to, you know, kind of be a lengthy time, they're going to tell you, put your dog on the bird.
Right.
That's just one of the things that they do. I've seen it a lot. You know, a dog will be out there hunting around and they're close to the area of the fall, but, you know, they kind of, they'll get in, go back out, get in a little bit, put on an even bigger hunt, and then it gets to the point where the judges tell you, put your dog on the bird.
Right. And I guess that's also going to be judge preference too, is whenever Absolutely. They call that and how much time they give you after they say that, or how many casts after they say that, you know, before they're, you know, considering you out.
Sure. Yep.
And another question about, you know, the differences there. And a lot of it has to do with region, because, you know, they tend to say that, what is it, HRC is more popular in the south and AKC is more popular up north. I think it's kind of what a lot of people have, or I've heard. But have you noticed a trend in AKC attendance versus HRC attendance as far as participants go?
Not really, honestly. As far as, you know, I live in Michigan. All the tests up here, we have HRC and AKC tests pretty much all year, and they're all super hard to get into, man. You know, your finished tests, they fill up super quick, and master test, if you're not signed in at 7:55, you're not going to get in. So they're both pretty hard to get into, but like I said, that's just talking finished and master. Seasoned and senior, junior and started, you'll get into. But for the most part, there's, you know, a very decent amount of people running each HRC and AKC tests up here, at least.
I would say down here, the time of the year plays a role. So the last test I was at was in October, and I guess all the started dogs had already ran, you know, in this hunt test season, because at this test there's only 7 started dogs signed up, and all of the tests that I ran started in had the full 50 dogs in there, with like at least a couple on the waiting list.
Wow.
It would have been nice to, you know, be done before lunch, have your ribbons and go home.
You would think that, but then just imagine, you know, dog 6 and 7 was probably that pro that's in the middle of running his dog through a finish set, so he doesn't end up getting there till 2 hours after dog 1 runs.
It's funny, you just mentioned getting done before lunch is over. When I got Jones's started title last year, whenever it was, I went down to Southern Illinois for that, and it was a 9.5-hour drive from where I lived, and got down there. And I only needed the one day. So I think the test started at like 8:30, 8:45. And by, I think it was 11:30, the entire test was done, both land and water. So they just completely flew through it.
I don't know who organized that test, but they need to be put in charge of all tests.
That's what I'm saying.
Man, that's nice, especially considering how long of a drive you had. I'm sure you were very appreciative of that.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not kidding you, dude. We ran for maybe 3 minutes total and then packed up and went home.
That last started test I ran, it was one flight of started, two flights of seasoned, and three flights of finished. They ended up opening up. Yes. It was a massive test across, like, you know, I think finished was actually being run at dog fields, I don't know, 5 miles down the road from where started and seasoned were being run. And so I think it took us, I don't know, let's say 45 minutes to an hour to run through almost all of the dogs and started. Well, both days, there's about, I don't know, the last four or five dogs in season or in started didn't get run until, I don't know, almost an hour after the dog before it ran, because a lot of those guys were, you know, coming down with a trailer full of dogs. And so they went to go run their finished dogs first. And whenever they went through with those dogs, then they came over and did started. So there was so much downtime at the hunt test I went to in September.
Where was that one at?
That was run at the Maury Sportsman's Preserve is where started and seasoned were run. And so another, I don't know, 5-10 minutes down the road is where they ran finished over at H. Cooper Black. Those guys that were running their finished dogs, they had to load their trailer up and scoot on over back to where the started test was being run. And so I think that's part of the reason there's such a delay there.
Sure.
Between, you know, those two tests, you've seen a lot of them run. You've been judged at a lot of them. If you had to pick one to be a judge for, which one would you pick? And to kind of further that question, what level of that would you want to judge?
You'd have to ask me on different days. Some days I personally like setting up super tight setups. So on that day, I'd like to be an HRC judge. But then there's other days where I like to stretch them out a little bit and get a little bit more concept-y, if you will. And on those days, I'd like to be a master judge for sure.
And did you notice like a difference in the, like you mentioned, concepts there? Is there a difference in the distance of marks between HRC and AKC, or are they run about the same distance from the line, or does it just depend on the judge that sets up the test?
I think it depends on the judges, to be honest with you. Overall, as a general, I think AKC is going to be quite a bit longer as far as your marks go. That one that I just ran down in Virginia, the first series on land, I think the shortest mark was like 70 yards. And that was the go bird. The memory, wow. first bird out was 130, and then the live flyer, I think, was 115 or 120, something like that. So I think your marks overall are going to be a little bit longer in AKC, but it's, don't quote me on that. I mean, your finish test could be something like that as well.
Okay. And, you know, going back to where you mentioned concepts, one thing that I've noticed as kind of a trend, and maybe it's coincidence, maybe it's not, but as far as HRC, almost all in the water portion of it, almost all of them are splash birds. And I haven't heard of or seen personally a test where they, you know, where the bird is thrown on an opposite bank or something and your dog has to traverse all the water, get out, pick up the bird, get back in the water and come back. but I have heard that that's pretty common when it comes to junior level AKC test. Would you agree with that?
I can't really comment as far as junior, considering I have not ran a junior test ever. But if we're talking senior and master level, absolutely. Truthfully, I can think of, I think, one test where, and it was a senior test where one of the birds splashed in the water. Other than that, they're typically going to be up on land on the other side of the bank.
Yeah, that would be different from at least what I saw in season. They were splash birds.
Yeah, in season, I think just about every test that we ran, I can't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure that every water test that we ran were splash birds actually in the water.
Is there any difference in how they mark blinds between HRC and AKC?
I've just, and this is from just personal experience, the tests that we ran, your senior tests are typically a little bit longer. The first seasoned HRC test that I ran, the blind was, I want to say, like 35 yards. And now when I say that, that's, a lot of people are going to say, wow, that's super short, but it was pushing through like 15 yards of super thick cover, which is just weird for a dog at that age to do. But regardless, the senior tests that we ran, they were all typically right around 65 to 70 yards. I think the shortest one that we ran was maybe 55, but your senior tests, in my opinion, are going to be a little bit shorter than that.
How do you know where the blind is? Is there a difference in AKC versus HRC, or have you noticed a difference?
Not really, to be honest with you. It's either going to be an orange ribbon hanging from whatever, or an orange stake sideways, I've noticed a lot of. But it's, I personally don't ever recall there being a difference between the two. Like I said, it's either an orange ribbon or some sort of an orange stake that's not super noticeable to the dog.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I guess I didn't really know. That was one of the things going into season that I didn't really know what I was going to be getting into, what it was going to look like. And so one of our water blinds was like, you know, hey, the duck's just going to be like over here in this little lump of grass beside the boat, you know. And then on another land series, it was like kind of a black pole that I mean, really, Bonnie lined it. You know, it was easy to see. So it was just in that one test, a lot of variables, you know, in the way that, you know, the blind looked from the line.
Sure. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that the last test that Jones ran for his senior title in AKC, the dog before him, it was a water blind, but the dog had to get out and run probably another 20 yards up on land for the blind. And they had, it was an orange ribbon basically just hanging from like a tall weed that was on the ground. And the dog before Jones completely blew over this orange ribbon and knocked it over. And the judges didn't realize it at the time. And the bird boy planted the blind. And I look out there, I'm like, where the heck is this blind at?
Right.
So they're like, do you know, like, they legitimately asked me, do you know where the blind is? And I'm like, I have a pretty good idea of where it is, but I don't know for sure. So long story short, we ended up running the blind. Jones damn near lined it. I sat him and tweeted him in because I thought he blew past it. But when I tweeted him in, he went further back another 10 yards and picked it up.
And oh, he smelled it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, I would guess the judge would have to give you a little leniency with that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You can't see where the blind is.
Yep.
Good thing Jones still had a little bit of independence there.
Right. I mean, I was pissed at him at the time, but when he picked it up, I was like, all
right. Right.
You know better than I do, man.
That was another thing that I really learned in my first season test is just how much control you have to have over your dog in the on the blinds. You know, it's not, you know, get them in the area and tell them to hunt it up. You know, it's
exactly
if they pop out of the water 3 feet from the blind, you have to whistle stop them and cast them to it. You sure. know,
that's you know, one of the things that I noticed too a lot in master tests as far as the blinds go is they may not look that difficult, some of them, but there's some that are super, super hard to finish. And by that, I mean, it's, and I'm not going to say it's easy to get your dog to the area, but we'll just say it's easy, for a lack of a better term, to get your dog to the area, but actually finishing that blind is going to be a challenge. Prime example, I ran one in Ohio back in the summer, and it was a straight up down the shore blind, but the bird was tucked actually behind a stump of a tree. And a lot of dogs would get to the area and then just start hunting around like crazy because they couldn't find it. So a good amount of the dogs, what they were doing, or the handlers, I should say, is they would let their dog get just, you know, 5 yards beyond where the blind actually was, stop them, and then tweet them back in just because of where the blind was actually planted behind the stump. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. A little strategy behind it. That makes perfect sense. I'm sure, you know, you watching some people do that kind of makes you come up with your own plan.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't ever want to run first.
No.
Right. I mean, there's some advantages and disadvantages, you know, in some of those, you know, thicker cover, you might have a nice little trail to the blind after, you know, 20 dogs run through there.
Absolutely.
And then also, you know, you might get the, you know, send your dog out on a blind where some other dog tore up a bird, you know, along the way. So there's a lot of different scent out there.
Yep.
So that could really go either way, I guess.
Definitely.
I think we've touched on a lot of the differences between the testing, but more on Jones specifically and Brimley a little bit too. What have they been up to since we talked about a month and a half ago?
Man, the last time we talked, I think I can't remember if we ran a master test in Virginia or I was just getting ready to. But we ran a master test in Virginia with Jones, and we went out in the second series. It was a big dog test, a very, very big dog test. But other than that, man, we've just been hunting. I've been hunting Jones pretty hard. Brimley is smack dab in the middle of force fetch right now. She's doing awesome with it. As soon as she gets done, we're going to start our pile work and start running our, you know, foundation for blinds over the winter.
How old is Brimley now?
She is 9 months, I think. She'll be a year in January. Every time somebody asks me, I think of Jones. Jones is a January birthday too. Brimley will be a year at the end of January.
Gotcha. And are you planning on starting to test her in the spring or?
Oh yeah, we're gonna jump right into senior and season in the spring.
Awesome.
Yep.
It's exciting, man. Yeah, I'm ready to get back into it too. Of course, you know, ready to do some hunting this season and screw up everything that I've been working on up to this point.
I feel you. Trust me, I feel you.
What about you, Dominic? You're planning on starting up the hunt tests again in the spring?
Yeah, I think spring's going to be some good timing for us. We're you know, continuing to work on the things that, you know, we've talked about on previous episodes, but we're also sprinkling in some more formal work with doubles, getting her, you know, doing some schooling memory bird, you know, throwing a mark out there, sending her as a single, and then throwing that same mark again, and then swinging her over, having a go bird thrown, sending her on the go, bring it back, send her on that memory bird. And she's been doing great on that. So We might look to start challenging her a little bit more and stop schooling that memory bird and just let it be a true memory bird and see how she does there. Water confidence is doing great. It was a couple of days ago. We went out, ran a little cross water type mark where it was thrown on land. So she had to cross a channel, hop out, pick it up, come back. And, you know, it, North Carolina is starting to get cold. So it was probably, I don't know, 40s or 50s that day. And the nighttime temps have been getting lower. So the water was starting to get a little chillier. And I was wondering how she'd react to some cooler water and cooler temperatures. And she didn't seem too fazed by it. So that's a good sign that, you know, water is just water to her and not really an obstacle. And we'll keep building on that.
Is she wearing that new vest when she's getting in the water?
So she's not. I need to send that vest back and go ahead and size down in it. I think we went with the large, and I think it's just a little too big. It fits in the chest, but it's loose just about everywhere else. So we're going to size down and see how that works with her, and then maybe get her in the water with the vest some.
What vest did you end up going with her?
I ended up going with the Rigam Right.
Okay. Not to put a plug in here, but Mulmarsh vests are the way to go. As far as, you know, you don't need a size. You don't have to pick a certain size. You know what I mean? They can.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And
they're awesome.
A lot of people like them. Yeah, a lot of people like them, especially when they have, you know, pointers. And I think they would do well for Sailor for the same reason. You know, pointers have that narrow but deep chest mm-hmm. and a slim waist. And that's the same way that that Sailor's built versus, you know, a lot of labs are a little bit stockier, a little bit wider, more barrel-chested. And that's what, you know, all the other vests are kind of tuned for. So that's kind of what we're going for with the Mulmarsh. But, you know, it seems like when me and John met up a couple weekends back, he had the medium in the Rigam Right, and I had the large, and I slipped the medium on Sailor, and it seemed to fit her just about perfectly. So,
yeah,
you know, we might try that out some and see how it works. So, you know, one parting question for you, Brandon. So we kind of mentioned your tattoos in the beginning of the episode. Is your next one going to be, you know, Brimley and Jones sitting there?
You know what? I have one more tattoo planned, and it's kind of funny, but every time I would run an HRC test, I would, on my thumb, I would write Jones and then whatever number he was, because I would get so nervous that I would forget his number all the time. So I would just write it on my thumb to remember. And I told myself back when he was still running like senior and or season, I said, when he gets his finish title, I'm going to get that tattooed right on my thumb. And so Jones number 17 is going to be my next tattoo right on my thumb.
So that was his finish number was 17?
Yes, sir.
Man, that's pretty cool.
Yep. Like
that is super neat.
Yep. So that's all I have planned as far as right now.
Yeah, the other thumb's going to be Brimley. Number
my other thumb's 27. Actually covered, so I can't do that there. I'll have to figure out a different spot for it.
Just get a big you know, back piece.
We'll do something for her.
Well, thank you guys for listening in to this episode of Operation Gundog. We definitely enjoyed recording it. I learned something. I hope y'all did too. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit subscribe. That way you don't miss our next episode coming up, because the next one's going to be a really good one. I'm really looking forward to it. And John, I know you are as well. So don't miss it. Be one of the first to hear it when it comes out. Just hit that little subscribe button. And if you enjoyed today's episode, go ahead and leave us a review down below. So 5 stars. If you think we deserve less than 4 stars, don't bother leaving a review. No, I'm kidding. But please leave us a review. You know, if you got any sort of input, by all means, write it on in there or reach out to us at one of our accounts. And we really look forward to having you guys listening to our next episode.